If you know me and if you've been around, heard a few sermons of mine already, you know that I am a cinephile, which is a fancy way of saying I am a huge movie nerd. Side tangent, if you want to do a deeper dive into the topics that we're talking about, we have good supplemental material in theaters right now. If you go watch Thunderbolts or Sinners, those are movies all about generational trauma, about facing your past and dealing with your wounds. So really encourage you guys to watch them. It's not just a popcorn MCU flick. It's actually really deep and powerful. And I was going to preach on it, but I can't. It's just too soon and I don't want to give spoilers. But all that to say, it's good supplemental material for our sermon series, which is Haunted. We're talking about dealing with the ghosts of our past, dealing with the emotional wounds and the trauma of our past so that we can live a better present and future. Now, I love movies, and one of the things that I learned from watching thousands of movies in my lifetime is this: a movie is only as good as its script. Case in point, take Academy Award-winning actress Cate Blanchett, who's had incredible roles in movies like The Lord of the Rings, Elizabeth, The Aviator, even taking home the Grammy for Best Actress in Blue Jasmine. She's a phenomenal actress. And you might think that simply featuring someone of her acting caliber would guarantee a good movie, but you would be dead wrong. Coming off the heels of a Best Actress nomination in 2023 for her role in a movie called Tar, one of my favorite movies of the year, she starred in a movie last year called Borderlands. Taylor knows all about this. While Tar was critically acclaimed, receiving a 91% on Rotten Tomatoes by critics, Borderlands was critically slammed with a 10% on Rotten Tomatoes, one of the lowest ranked movies in Rotten Tomato history. Now, same Grammy-winning actress, different quality of script. In other words, even the greatest actors in the world can't save a movie with a terrible script, and that's almost true of every element of a movie. The best CG, the best cinematography, the best performances, the best costumes, the best score, none of it matters if the script isn't good. A movie is only as good as its script. Now, although you and I were not actors in a movie playing out a scene, our stories are driven by scripts. You and I are living a story every single day of our lives, and there are scripts that are driving the way that we act and behave and the way that we live. And so if we hope to live a good story, we have to make sure that we're living by a good script. We're going to dive a little deeper into what that means. So I want us to get familiar with this idea that each and every one of us live by narrative scripts. Scripts that inform the way that we act and the way that we behave. Stories that we're living into, whether we realize it or not. Have you ever found yourself in a situation with someone where you think, I know exactly how they're going to react to this? Have you ever thought that? Maybe it's a sibling, a friend, a mom, partner. I know exactly how they're going to react when I give them this news. I know exactly how they're going to react when I say those certain set of words. I know exactly how they're going to react when they are found in this particular situation. You know, Kristen knows me oftentimes better than I know myself, and sometimes it drives me crazy. For example, whenever I'm buying new clothes and I'm like looking at myself in the mirror and I'm feeling insecure, like Krista knows, if she comes up right beside me and gasses me up, and she's like, whoa, you look cool. You look good. That looks good. She knows 100% guarantee, without a shadow of a doubt, I will buy that fit. Another thing, Krista has these hypnotic powers where she can get me to try any food. And so like, you know, sometimes we'll be eating a meal and she's like, hey, do you want to take a bite of my food? I'll be like, I'm okay. I'm enjoying my thing. But I know, she knows, if she goes, this is so good. Oh my gosh. Guarantee 100% of the time I will say, oh, actually, can I try some? Right? She just knows me that well. And it's almost as if I'm pre-programmed in certain scenarios and situations. It's almost as if in certain scenarios, or rather scenes, I'm reading off a script. You know, we'd like to believe that we live freely and objectively without any bias or influence, but the reality is that more often than not, our actions, our behavior, are a response to the internal scripts that have been written in our lives. And so each and every one of us live by narrative scripts. Now, you keep hearing this word, narrative script, narrative script. What are narrative scripts? For the purposes of today's teaching, this is the definition I want us to go off of. Narrative scripts are the messages we believe that inform the way we behave. These are the messages we have come to believe about ourselves, about others, about God, about our world, that quite literally shape how you and I live. In the same way an actor plays out the script that they've been given, we too have underlying scripts that have been written from our past experiences that we live out every single day of our lives. And while this can be extraordinarily beautiful, it can also be terrifying because, as we talked about last week, many of us live haunted by the ghosts of our past. Right? Many of us live not properly having dealt with the emotional pain we've experienced growing up, and we don't realize that those wounds from our past left untreated have created scripts that we live out in the present. And what I want to propose to you today is that many of us are living out scripts, living out stories that are simply not true, and they're affecting our relationships. And they're affecting the way we view ourselves. And they're affecting the way that we live in our world. Now, some narrative scripts can lean positive, right? Some of the narrative scripts, the messages that we believe, whether we're aware of it or not, are things like, I am strong and capable. Or every day is a gift. Or I am beautiful just the way I am. Or YOLO, right? That's a narrative script. You only live once. Let's take advantage of every single day. But others can be extremely harmful. Messages that we believed about ourselves, I must never show weakness. I always mess things up. Men are not to be trusted. I am unlovable. Right? Just think for a moment. Think about how someone believing the message that they are strong and capable, how they might approach a situation at work as opposed to someone who believes that they always mess things up. Or think for a moment, think about how someone who believes that they are beautiful just the way they are, perfect just the way they are, think about how they might show up in a relationship as opposed to someone who believes that they are unlovable, right? These have big stakes. Our narrative scripts have profound implications in how we live lives. And as followers of Jesus, one of the reasons why we're entering into this collection of sermons, because it is our responsibility to uncover some of the underlying scripts that have been shaped by our past and determine what God says is true and what God says is untrue. I want us to open up to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. The author writes, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The author is reminding us of something important. Even though we feel like we're the captain of our lives, that we're in total control, the author is reminding us that Jesus is the author of our lives. He is the author of our stories, but he isn't just the author, he's the finisher. Our God sees each and every one of our stories through to the very end, and he knows how to write a good ending. Have you ever seen a movie that, you know, the first two-thirds of the movie, phenomenal. They're setting it up, but they end it so terribly, right? It sours the whole, but the author is reminding us God knows how to write a good ending to our story, and we can trust him. And the scripture, this what the scripture is telling us, it's what's exhorting us to do, challenging us to do, is to lay aside every weight. Another translation says to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily ensnares. You know, when we think of sin, we tend to think of the wrong things that I do. I lied, or I cheated, or I stole. But God actually challenges us to look even deeper, to ask, what are the wrong things I believe underneath the wrong things that I do? In other words, every sinful action or behavior, beneath it, if we look deeper, is a lie or an untrue thing that we believed about ourselves, about God, or about our world. And why? Because the scripts that we live by always start in our minds. The war for your true identity, for who we truly are, always starts in our mind. And so Jesus is asking us to consider, what are the wrong ways of thinking, the untrue narrative scripts that we need to throw off in order to live the story that he's writing in our lives? And so in order to do that, we have to uncover and confront some of the scripts that have been written from our past. Now, narrative scripts, we're going to break it down in these three ways. Narrative scripts are comprised of three things: events, emotions, and interpretations. Events. It can be something as simple as a parent yelling at you, or a parent consoling you, or it can be something as complex as a traumatic event like the loss of a parent, or abuse, or a divorce. You know, I find that it can be so easy to minimize painful events in our lives, to brush them off as no big deal. Not to mention, who has the time to thoroughly process all of our painful experiences in our lives, right? Here in the West, productivity is God. And we're conditioned to quickly move on from pain to get back to our never-ending checklist instead of taking time to slow down and pay attention to how our everyday life events have impacted us. Many of our narrative scripts come from our everyday life experiences, and so it's important that we pay attention to them. Now, events don't just have to be singular moments or events that have happened in our lives. They can also be repeated patterns of behavior, right? Maybe your parent forgot to pick you up at school on a regular basis. That happened to me often. Or you'd regularly hear your parents fight in your home growing up. Maybe you'd always find yourself being forgotten or left behind in your friend group. Right? These repeated patterns, these repeated events can have profound impacts on our lives. And so first, events. But then the second is emotions. Around these events were emotions, feelings that were tied to our experiences. You know, we tend to categorize emotions as either bad or good. And we assume like the good emotions are like joy and like gratitude. And those are the things that draw us closer to God. While bad emotions like sadness or anger, they hinder us from God. But remember, there's actually no such thing as good or bad emotions. Emotions just are. And so many of us have embraced this toxic positivity in the way that Jesus calls us to live, where we're taught to shove aside anger or sadness or the quote-unquote harder emotions so that we could take on joy or delight or peace. But when we do that, we only experience a counterfeit joy. Remember, it's only when we allow ourselves to experience the full breadth of emotions, sadness, anger, that we can enter into true joy. Dan Allender, he writes, ignoring our emotions is turning our back on reality. Listening to our emotions ushers us into reality, and reality is where we meet God. Emotions are the language of the soul. They are the cry that gives the heart a voice. However, we often turn a deaf ear through emotional denial, distortion, or disengagement. In neglecting our intense emotions, we are false to ourselves and lose a wonderful opportunity to know God. In other words, every emotion we feel, whether it's joy or sadness, anxiety or peace, is an invitation to encountering God. And so we have to pay attention to the emotions that we have felt around the experiences that we went through. Events, emotions, and then interpretations. The events we experience, the emotions that we felt, all contribute to our interpretation of those events and emotions. What are the conclusions that I drew about myself, about others, about the world that we live in? Oftentimes, they say that our interpretation of an event is far more powerful than the actual event itself. In other words, while an event is a concrete occurrence, we know that it happened a specific way. How we interpret it has the very power to shape our lives. This is why two people can go through the exact same traumatic event, but come out very differently and live such different lives. And that's not to say that one's better than the other. I think we live in a culture where we say, if you don't pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and if you're not resilient, then you're weaker. I don't think that's true. That's just to say that we all process things differently and at different speeds in our lives. Now, I say this story often because I think it's so funny. I was part of a community group at my last church where there was this, he was also a rapper, but he like looked like a rapper, right? I don't really look like I did hip hop or rap, but he looked like a rapper proper. He was like this 300-pound white dude. He had tats all up his neck, arms, legs. He talked with a slang. He grew up in a rougher neighborhood than I did. And remember when we sat in community groups, you know, we'd be sharing about our struggles through the week. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, you know, this week was tough. I was just so tired waking up from my internship and getting to church. And then, like, whenever we got around in our circle and he shared about his week, he'd be like, yeah, it's tough, you know. I had to bury my friend 6 feet in the dirt. And, you know, he was a good friend, but he got shot in a drive-by. And I was like, oh, my God, like, how do I compare the trauma that he's experienced? I used to beat myself up and be so down on myself. Because this person who's experienced far more trauma than me seemed way more resilient than I was. And I'm here complaining about waking up early for my internship. I live such a cushy life and I always used to be down on myself until I came to accept the truth that they are not me and I am not them. Every one of us have a journey toward healing. And we often heal at different paces. Our stories look different and all of it is okay. And so along with the event and the emotions come the interpretations. Now, how does this all come together to form our narrative scripts? The events we experience and the emotions surrounding them and how we interpret them is where our narrative scripts are formed. I'm going to give you a few examples. And these are real life stories from people that I've walked with in my life. I was talking to someone and they're saying the event that popped into their minds as we were doing the exercise that we'll do in a moment. They're saying, you know, when I was young, my parents got divorced. And he was telling me the emotions that I felt with that were sadness and anger and feelings of abandonment. And he told me the interpretation from that event and those emotions were that I was the problem. And it's sad that most children of divorce often feel like they're the problem, that it was really them that caused the split up between mom and dad. And so the interpretation from the divorce and the feelings of sadness and the anger and abandonment, I was the problem. And the narrative script that was formed that he believes about himself is that people will always abandon me. People will always leave me. Right? Do you see how these things intertwine to form the narrative scripts that we believe in our lives? Another example, I had a friend who was from Reading, and he was telling me he had a really tumultuous relationship with his dad. He's saying, you know, my dad, he was great at moments, but there is one word that pops out from my childhood that hurt again and again, and it's the word idiot. You know, he was saying, my dad wasn't saying it to me maliciously. He'd just say it in passing, like, you're such an idiot. Why don't you do this? You're such an idiot. But he was saying something about that word idiot, like, stuck to him and affected him so deeply. He said, the emotions that I felt from hearing that word idiot, whether my dad intended it to harm me or deform me, regardless of that, the emotions that I felt were worthlessness, were insecurity. He said, the interpretation that I got was, I'm an idiot. I'm stupid. And the narrative script that we got to is that he felt like I don't have anything valuable to offer to the world. Now think about how these narrative scripts affects the way that we show up in our relationships, show up at our work, show up in our world, how we view ourselves, how we view God. They have big implications for how we live our lives. And so the question then is, how do we identify the narrative scripts in our lives? Like, if there are these underlying scripts deep beneath the surface that we're living into from our past experiences, how do we identify them? Well, just like we have been talking about why we're in this collection, we have to go back into the past to discover where our narrative scripts have come from. so that we can identify the messages that are influencing our lives and see if they hold up to the truth of the gospel. Now, a majority of the narrative scripts that we live out actually come from the messages that we receive from our family of origin, particularly our parents or caretakers. I'm sure that as you guys were sharing some of the messages that you received from your parents or your household growing up, I'm sure a lot of them were positive. Maybe some of them were negative. Maybe some of them are in between. But many of the narrative scripts that are formed in our lives have come from our family of origin, from our childhood, from our parents and our caretakers. These are the messages that were spoken over us, about us, and to us. Now, parents and caretakers, they have a significant influence on our personality, on our emotional development, behavioral habits, and relational skills, right? As a parent myself, like, I feel the weight of this more than ever before because I know the wrong thing that I do or say can really mess up my kids, right? An offhanded comment that I think won't have any impact, that I'm just saying without thinking, can actually alter the trajectory of my kids' lives if I'm not careful. And so this is huge. Our parents and our caretakers, they have had a profound impact in shaping us and the people that we are today. But narrative scripts, they can also come from significant relationships with other family members or siblings and friends. You know, a lot of psychologists say that the impact that siblings have on your development and who you become is oftentimes even greater, in some cases greater than the impact your parents have had. And so we have to look to the past in our relationship with our parents and caretakers, family members, siblings, friends. But the same is true of significant life events, not just people, but events. Right? Difficult, painful, and traumatic events have a way of shaping us and creating narrative scripts that we live from. Now, obviously we don't have a time machine. This isn't Back to the Future. This isn't Terminator. But every single one of us do have a way of going back into the past. And it's through our memory. Memory is the gift that God gives us to build intimacy in relationship. Right? If you had no memory of who I was, you would feel very little attachment or connection to me. Have you seen the movie 50 First Dates? Right? If there is no memory, there is no intimacy or deep relationship that can be established. So memory is actually a gift that God gives us so that we could enter into deepness and depth and intimacy with one another and with God. And memory is also where our narrative scripts live. Because memory is where we actually receive that script, where we remember that traumatic moment or that tumultuous relationship or that key life event, and they speak to us from the past, the messages that we interpreted that inform how we act today. When I'm getting ready to enter in a relationship and I'm commitment phobic, the messages from my past scream, everyone will abandon you. And so I don't commit. I take a step back. When I'm at work and it's time for me to step up, but I remember all the words of my best friends telling me that you're worthless or you're an idiot or you're stupid, those messages come back into our present. They're the way that the ghosts from our past haunt us today. And so memory is actually where our narrative scripts live and where the messages from them come from. So if you're wondering where to start, we have to start with our memories. And I think the best way to start this, I started therapy again, and one of the first things that we do, she tells me, think of the most potent memory that comes to mind. It could be good, it could be bad, it could be way back, could be more recent, doesn't matter. What's potent? What's the first thing that pops into your head? And so we have to start with the memories that are most accessible to us, the things that we can remember, and then we can work back from there. And so when we're doing this, we want to think of a memory that triggers strong emotions, a memory that seems like a significant event. Now, we're going to have a guided exercise for you to go through in our email, and then we're actually going to do a little bit of that today just to try it. But I do want to lay out a few questions to consider as we're trying to figure out and uncover our narrative scripts. Now, one of the questions that we can ask are, what are some of the messages that you received about life from your father, mother, or paternal caretaker? There can be good or bad or in between. Maybe it's something like failure is not an option, or life isn't easy or fair, but it is good, right? These are the messages that we've learned about life from our parents or from the authority figures in our lives. Another question that we could ask are, what are some of the messages you received about yourself from your father, from your mother, or from your paternal caretaker? Maybe it's something like you're lazy, or maybe it's something beautiful, like you're perfect just the way you are. What are the messages that we've received about ourselves from our parents or paternal caretakers? The third question we could ask is, what is a memory that might give you insight into the messages your father, mother, or paternal caretaker passed on to you about life? What are those memories that you have with your parents or paternal caretakers that you feel like formed a message? Even if you don't know what that message is, you know it's had some impact on your life. Maybe it's that scenario I laid out earlier. My parents often forgot to pick me up from school, and I would have to call them and track them down. Maybe it's something as simple as your parent yelled at you one time and said something that stuck with you to this day, right? What is the message you received based on that memory with your parents or paternal caretaker? And then we can ask the Holy Spirit if there are any other memories that he wants to show us. And the fourth question is, what is a memory that might give you insight into the messages your father, mother, or paternal caretaker passed on to you about yourself, right? What are the memories that are associated with my parents or paternal caretakers that talked about my worth, that communicated to me about my value, my place, my competencies, my failures, my successes, etc.? And so after considering these things, we can set aside time to write down all of the messages that we feel like we've received. And this is the power now of inviting the Holy Spirit into this. We can ask the Holy Spirit then to show you which of these messages that I've received from my past do I actually believe to this day? Because, you know, some of us, we've received messages from our parents and from our past, and we know that that was the message that was communicated, but we don't necessarily believe it, right? Maybe your parents told you all the time that you're horrible, you're always going to screw up, but you know, no, like I'm great, like I'm perfect, like I'm not going to screw up. I know how to build good things, right? And so what are the messages in that list of messages that you actually still believe to this day? And then next, you can ask the Holy Spirit to show you whether those messages that you believe, whether they're true or untrue. You know, some of these messages might be easy to identify, but others may not. Right, something like, for example, pull yourself up by your bootstraps is a message that many of us may have heard growing up. For some of us, that can be really good and needed. But for others of us, that can be actually really bad. Because what we need in our lives right now isn't more effort in striving. It's learning to accept the things that we cannot control, right? And so ask the Holy Spirit to show you whether the messages that you believed are true or not. And don't rush this. Take time to allow the Holy Spirit to show you the truth. And then finally, next to each of the messages that you've listed, mark whether you believe they're true or not, and spend a few minutes praying over the messages that you've marked as not true, and ask the Holy Spirit to show you the truth related to that specific message. People will always abandon me. And Holy Spirit's saying, no, that's not true. There will be people in your life that will stick with you for the long haul. And I am with you always. I am a mess up. I'm a screw up. Holy Spirit says, that's not true. You are perfectly and wonderfully made, and I'm guiding you and living with you in your everyday life. Write down the truth that is revealed to the areas and the messages that we believe that are not true. And lastly, ask God to exchange the old untrue narrative scripts with the truth that he's revealed. And then we could close our time thanking God. Does that make sense? And so we'll have a guided activity in our email this week for you to dive into. I know for some of us that this might seem really painful. I know for some of us that might seem very difficult. But there's so much power in discovering the narrative scripts that we've been living out of. And so today, I want to invite us to a time of trying this here together at church in community. And so if you would with me, would you close your eyes? And we're just going to create a space where we can figure out some of the narrative scripts that we've been leaving. Take a moment and take a few deep breaths and ask the Holy Spirit to come, to be with you, to guide you on this journey. take a moment of silence to breathe in and breathe out and to invite the presence of God. Now take a moment and ask Holy Spirit to highlight a key life event that has shaped or impacted you, a memory that is at the forefront of your mind when you think about it, a memory that is potent, a memory that you know was huge. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a big, grand event. It could be something small, but what's that memory, that key life event that's sticking out to you right now? Ask the Holy Spirit to highlight that. Maybe it was a divorce. Maybe it was a death or a loss. Maybe it was abuse, financial stress, trauma. Maybe it was words that you receive. Whatever that is, ask Holy Spirit to highlight it. And now I want you to take a moment as you do that. When you get a sense of what that thing is, whatever memory or key life event Holy Spirit is highlighting, I want you to ask, what was the message that you received from that event? Maybe the message you received is, you're all alone. Maybe the message is, never show weakness. Maybe the message is, money is security. Whatever it might be, ask Holy Spirit to help you uncover, what is the message that I received from that key life event or memory? Next, take a moment to honestly ask yourself, do I believe this message that I've received? In what ways does this affect the way that I live life, how I see the world, how I treat others, how I treat myself? Do I believe this message? Has it pervaded the way that I show up in the present? Now ask the Holy Spirit to show you whether that message that you believed is true or not true. Does this message that I've received line up to what you say is true, God? Or is it a lie? Ask Holy Spirit to show you whether that message is real, if it's true or untrue. If it's not true, ask Holy Spirit to show you what the truth related to that specific message is. If this message that I've received that I believe is not true, what is the truth that you speak over me? Take a moment to ask Holy Spirit to exchange the old, untrue narrative scripts with the truth that he reveals. Just as we close, take one final moment just to ask, is there anything you want to say to me regarding this memory or this message? Is there anything else you want me to know, God? I just sense that maybe there's one or a few people in this room, and the messages that we receive from our past is, I am not enough. And I just feel like I want to end today just by speaking over that lie for some of us. That is, in Scripture, and according to the gospel, that is not true. And we've lived our lives always showing up in our relationships, in our workplace, feeling like I'm not enough. And I just hear the truth of the Lord saying, I have given you everything that you need in life and godliness. That who you are is enough. And I just feel like God is rewriting some of our scripts. And so right now, God, we thank you that you are writing over some of the scripts that we are living out of. I pray that today would be the beginning of a new journey for some of us in rewriting these old scripts, to exchange them for the new story, for the new script rooted in your truth that you're giving us. And so we thank you for this space. As we continue to dive deeper into our past, into our history, would you continue redeeming them? I pray that as some of us continue this throughout the week, that you give us profound insight and how to live the lives that you've called us to live. We love you, we honor you, and we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.